We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, titled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. Text number 33. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, is always the benefactor of the surrendered souls. His activities are always enacted through His internal potency, Rama, or the goddess of fortune. I pray only to engage in His service in the creation of the material world. And I pray that I not be materially affected by my works. For thus, I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. Purport. In the matter of material creation, maintenance and destruction, there are three incarnations of the material modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar. But the Lord's incarnation as Vishnu, in His internal potency, is the supreme energy for the total activities. Brahma, who is only an assistant in the mode of creation, wanted to remain in His actual position as an instrument of the Lord, instead of becoming puffed up by the false prestige of thinking himself the creator. That is the way of becoming dear to the Supreme Lord and receiving His benediction. Foolish men want to take credit for all creations made by them, but intelligent persons know very well that not a blade of grass can move without the will of the Lord. Thus, all the credit for wonderful creations must go to Him. By spiritual consciousness only can one be free from the contamination of material affection and receive the benediction offered by the Lord. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Janasalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Rupanathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Palitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadbha Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. Hare Krishna. Brahma is in His mission for creation and He is continuing His prayers to the Supreme Lord, specifically Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. It is very wonderful that Srimad Bhagavatam gives such a detailed explanation of creation, which is unknown to other scriptures. For example, if you consider other traditions, knowledge of creation is very primitive. In fact, I think a few months back, Pope Francis, he made a statement that we have to accept Big Bang theory and the theory of evolution. He accepted it as part of the Catholic faith. They accepted it. It is acceptable according to their faith. Whereas Srila Prabhupada strongly criticized the theory of evolution. And even if you consider the world of scientists, there are so many who do disagree with the theory of evolution. At the same time, the head of the Catholic faith, they accept now the theory of evolution as something which is bona fide. So God used evolution for creation. Similarly, the God used Big Bang for creation. So this is the stand of the Catholic faith. So if you try to understand why such a statement came maybe a few months back, because there is no sufficient understanding about the God, nor is there any sufficient information about the creation. Whereas in Srimad Bhagavatam and even in other Puranas, there is elaborate description about creation. And it is not very simple. It is very complicated. In fact, one of the subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam is creation. Atra sargascha visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manyantareshanukatha nirodho muktirashreha. So when the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam is presented, one of the subject is creation and then the secondary creation. So if you go through Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it be second canto or the third canto, creation is mentioned in quite details. And we understand it is not very simple. It is very complicated. Even we struggle to get our head around the whole creation. We find it very difficult. What is it? In fact, Pope Francis made a statement that God is not a person with a magic wand. He's actually questioning the omnipotency and the all-powerful nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not acceptable. If God wants, He can create without even the agency of Lord Brahma. He doesn't need anyone. He can create anything. Viryam adhata viryavan. In the beginning of the creation, we hear from the third canto itself that the Lord, He actually imparted the conscious entities into Pradhan. So He did that. And it is mentioned that the Lord's energy in the form of His glance is empowering the matter to enact. Otherwise, the creation would never take place. So the Lord is imparting His energy, and He's causing the agitation through the Kala Shakti and so on and so forth. So the whole creation is presented in a very detailed fashion, and we find it difficult to understand. Even if you try to understand, we have a great amount of difficulty in understanding creation as it is, because it is beyond our intellectual ability. One devotee was asking, so many questions on creation to a very senior Vaishnava. And this senior Vaishnava replied that if you really want to know creation, then you have to take a birth of a Brahma. This is the way you can understand what is creation. So if one has the strong desire, some devotees do have strong desire to understand creation in detail, to the core, then probably he has a karma mishra bhakti, because there's a strong tendency to know about creation and its details, karma or maybe jnana mishra. So if you want to know that, the only way is one has to take birth as a Brahma. May not be the right deal, but that's the way to know if one wants to know creation to that great length. So here, Lord Brahma is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a very interesting manner, and this specific verse is very famous. It is famous because Brahma knows the consequence of doing such a great task. So by the mercy of the Lord, one could perform such a great task as Brahma would in due course of time. However, to maintain the position as a servant of the Lord, as a devotee of the Lord, and not being affected by pride is very difficult. So by mercy of the Lord, it is possible to create. Now, the challenge comes. Lord Brahma is going to create, and after creation, it is very natural that to think that this is my creation. I am the proprietor, and finally, I am the enjoyer. So this tendency can creep in very easily, and that can spoil the whole devotional progress. So Brahma is well aware of it. So this comes to the point that entering into the material world and playing with the material energy is very dangerous. Even if we have to endeavor materially, even for our own maintenance, it is actually playing with the fire. Because there is this natural tendency to think that I am the doer, so I am the proprietor of the result, and so I am the enjoyer. This is a natural sequence of our thought. So this problem is there, and Brahma is aware of it, and so he's praying to the Supreme Lord that kindly protect me from this false prestige as the creator. So think the position of Lord Brahma, such a great task he is performing of matching the karmas of different living entities to the suitable bodies, and practically it is unlimited. And he has to create the initial progenies and from there further progenies. And he's creating different kinds of species, as we will hear in Srimad Bhagavatam in the same canto, in the third canto. So such a great task, and he knows the possible consequence, and he is approaching the Supreme Lord. So we can see that Lord Brahma is the founder Acharya, and he is setting the right mood in which to approach any task in the material world and any devotional service. If we don't have the right mood, we will fall prey to the false prestige. As it is mentioned, there is always pride before a fall down. We know the mood of Srila Prabhupada, we know the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this regard. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was such a great devotee, he was such a big guru. He used to say even apparently a new person would come and pay obeisances unto Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then Bhaktisiddhanta would say that, "Dasosmi, I am your servant, and how can I serve you?" This was the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta. Even though he used to chastise heavily Mayavadis, he used to correct, but at the same time, the core mood was "Dasosmi, I am an eternal servant of Krishna." He used to even say about his own position, he used to say, "People are coming, they are sitting in front of me, and all of them are watching me, just like one would watch an animal in the zoo." If you go to an animal in the zoo, everyone is looking at the zoo, what is he doing, he's jumping, even a monkey, right? If you go to Melbourne Zoo, there are so many people watching the activities of a monkey, jumping up and down, it's doing so. He presented himself, I am just like an animal in the zoo, where people are observing, everyone is looking at me. And, everyone is, offering a big seat, seeing, the whole action everyone wants to witness. So he could make such statements because he considered himself only as a servant. And this is the mood coming from, we can see from Lord Brahmaji, we can see from Lord Chaitanya. Gobi Bhartapada Kamale or Dasa Dasa and Dasa. It's the entire parampara is carrying this mood. All the Vaishnavas carry this mood. It is such an important mood. King Kulashekhar, in his prayer of Mukundamala Stotra, he emphasizes this so much. Bhrityasya bhrtya, tava bhrtya bhrtya, paricharaka bhrtya bhrtya, bhrtyasya bhrtya iti mam smara lokanatha. Bhrtya means, bhrtya means a servant. Okay, so he says, and paricharaka also means a servant. So he says, bhrityasya bhrtya, paricharaka bhrtya bhrtya, bhrtyasya bhrtya iti mam smara lokanatha. So he's praying to the Supreme Lord. How many times is he using the same word servant? 7 or 8 times. To emphasize to us to think that we are actually a servant. And it is very difficult for us to accept that we are a servant in the realm of false ego. It is very difficult. We want to think we are the master at any given condition. And for great devotees, they naturally think so. And So naturally the prayers are in this mood. Srila Prabhupada, he considered himself as a servant when he told all you devotees, you are representatives of my spiritual master and I am serving you. This is the position of a guru. A true guru considers himself as a servant. He thinks, I am only serving my disciples. A disciple should never think like that about his guru. But as a guru, guru thinks like that. A true guru thinks like that. I am serving my disciples and these disciples are being sent by my spiritual master. In that way, they are my spiritual master's representative. Srila Prabhupada said that. Such an elevated position. And that is the essence of Vaishnava philosophy. Seeing ourselves as servant. And that is the essence of perfection. That is the essence of liberation. We usually chant prayers to Srila Rupa Goswami as part of our invocatory prayers, right? Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. What's the meaning of the last line? Dadati Swapadantikam. When am I going to get the proximity and the shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami? This is a prayer to Srila Rupa Goswami. So, Padantikam. Antikam means the proximity or the shelter. So, the shelter of Vaishnavas and serving under the shelter of Vaishnavas is the essence of liberation. That is our liberation. That is Vaishnava liberation. So, if you hear songs by great acharyas, say Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he sings in the Radha Krishna Pran Mora Jugal Kishore. If you see Lalita Vishakha Adi Jata Sakhi Brinda Agyaya Kuribo Seva Charanarabinda. So he says, he is actually praying to get that, okay, serving the Supreme Lord, but under the shelter of the devotees. Under the sanction and shelter of the devotees. So this is considered perfection. So this manifests in all different levels. Okay, they are in the perfect state, they are serving Krishna under the guidance of the devotees. And in our neophyte state, we had to be thankful to have the devotees to guide us. Because then only we will be in the track of devotional service. Otherwise we will be swayed from the path of devotional service. As we see in the next verse also, Srila Prabhupada makes this point that performing devotional service is like going on a razor's edge. You know, if you use a razor, it can cut so easily if you are not careful. In the same way, if you are not careful in performing devotional service, we can easily fall down. And many people have fallen down from the path of devotional service. Of course, many have achieved perfection in devotional service, as Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, Bahunam, Bahu, so many people. They have, you know, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha, Manmana Mamubashrita, Bahavo Gyana Tapasa Puta Madbhava Mashritaha, Bahavo, so many people have perfected by performing devotional service. But at the same time, we can see a number of people have fallen down also in the path of devotional service. Even though whatever is done is for one's eternal good. So now, Lord Brahma is taking this humble position and praying to the Supreme Lord to give his benediction that he would never fall down from the path of devotional service. And he would think that he is the creator, and thinking that he is the proprietor and he is the enjoyer. So here in the purport, a very interesting point comes about that Brahma wants, he doesn't want to move away from his position as an instrument who is executing the task given by the Supreme Lord. So being in our own position is very important. This is considered one of the anartha, to think of oneself as more advanced than one is. And it is very, very, very natural. We think, you know, I am more advanced than I am, really. It happens about chanting, it can happen in the time of reading, it can happen in the time of doing service. Anytime this anartha can creep into our mind. While chanting, one can think, yeah, now I have read, you know, the chanting means thinking about the pastimes of the Lord. Name, form, qualities, pastime, everyone, everything and everything should manifest in my heart. One can artificially think and one cannot even hear the holy name of Krishna. Everything starts from hearing about Krishna, the names of Krishna. So one can just forget Krishna's name and think about so many things. One can think about service, then it's the beginning point, the starting point, then one can think about the whole world while chanting. So this is thinking that I am so advanced that I can think about so many different things while chanting. While reading, people, you know, tend to focus on advanced pastimes and intimate pastimes which one is not really qualified to read or contemplate. One can read whatever is given by Srila Prabhupada, but one doesn't have to search for books which are above our level of consciousness. I had one devotee, all of a sudden he left the ashram, and he left without telling anyone, and he was doing his own stuff, and they found out that in his cupboard they found a lot of books, very intimate pastimes of Krishna and Radharani and other gopis and stuff like that. So assume that he was reading all these intimate books without qualification, and that actually degraded his consciousness. So there is always a risk. And Srila Prabhupada was very careful about this. I heard this pastime of Srila Prabhupada that once he opened one of the, I can't remember which volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, but one of the volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was filled with Krishna's intimate pastimes with gopis. So the whole picture was one or the other to do with Krishna's intimate pastimes. And Prabhupada asked, who has done this? Who has done this? This was Prabhupada's books. Who has done such a disservice? And he said, I want to see how Krishna controls. I want to see the pictures in which Krishna controls. Because first we need to understand that Krishna is the controller. Krishna is the proprietor. And we are only his servant. After understanding that, one can go to higher pastimes of Krishna. So if this is not very well set in our consciousness, then one can completely misunderstand Krishna's pastimes. And one can meditate on things which one is not qualified for. So this is, to stay in one's own position is difficult. Because if we are really in our own position, then we will be humble. So when we are not humble, we should understand that we think that we are something else. So that's why here, Srila Prabhupada writes, by spiritual consciousness only one can be free from the contamination of material affection and receive the benediction offered by the Lord. So if we place ourselves in that consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, and thinking ourselves as servant of the devotee, servant of the Lord, then we can get the benediction of the Supreme Lord. And we can see Lord Brahma receives that benediction by being placed in his own position. Otherwise, there is no hope. Because by nature, we are contaminated. And by contaminated nature, we think that we are the master. We can order others. We can tell others what to do, which we are not doing. We need to think about ourselves, what is our consciousness. Then we see, oh, this is not really very elevated. And then we can take some action. So it includes chanting proper rounds, means just hearing Krishna's names. That is the beginning. And hearing Krishna's names and reading about Krishna, as it is given in the purports. We can just read this purport and chant. It is said, if we just follow this activity, of course, practically engaging in Krishna's service, just reading and chanting, if we do this process, then we will naturally become progressed in our devotional service. If we are sincerely following this activity, practical service, hearing and chanting about Krishna, then our heart will transform and our chanting will evolve. Actually, we will be able to chant with feeling about thinking about Krishna. That is a natural consequence of just following the basic principles of devotional service. One doesn't have to do anything extraneously. Just chant with focus, just hear about Krishna, engage in Krishna service. It is just a matter of time. Srila Rupa Goswami confirms this point in Nectar of Instruction. Sadvi krama bhavati tadgata mula hantri. He doesn't say overnight this is going to happen. പിത്തോപദസ്യ രസനസ്യ നരോചികാനോ കിന്തു ആദരാത് അനുദിനം ഖലു സൈവജുഷ്ട സാധുക്രമാത് ഭവതി തദ്ഗതമൂലഹന്ത്രി. ഇവൻ ദോ വി ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് എനി ടേസ്റ്റ് അറ്റ് ദിസ് പോയിന്റ് ടു ഹിയർ ദ ഹോളി നെയിം ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ഓർ ടു ഹിയർ അബൌട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ, ഇവൻ ദോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫുള്ളി ടേസ്റ്റ്ഫുൾ ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഓഫ് എ ഷുഗർ കാൻഡി, നൗ വി ഫീൽ ലൈക്ക് യു നോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ബിറ്റർ ആസ് ഇഫ് വൺ ഇസ് അഫ്ലിക്റ്റഡ് ബൈ ദ ഡിസീസ് ഓഫ് ജോണ്ടിസ്. However, since the cure for jaundice is taking the sugar candy, similarly, the cure for this distaste is hearing and chanting Krishna's names. So he says, just continue hearing. But he adds a point that, kintu adarat, however, one has to chant and hear adarat means with attention, with focus. If one does so, then sadhi kramat bhavati, then kramat in due course of time what happens, swad, the taste will come, one will develop taste for hearing Krishna's names. The chanting holding names of Krishna, it won't become just a mechanical process, one will be able to feel Krishna while chanting, and then the chanting becomes tasteful, and that actually encourages other aspects of devotional service. If we get good chanting, then definitely our service is better, then hearing about Krishna is better. So everything is actually goes hand in hand. So this is the process. So the process in itself is very simple. As Brahma says, we need to keep ourselves in our position and just follow the simple process: hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and serving Krishna. And if we do that, then progress is guaranteed. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. So the question is, if a service is given which is beyond one's capacity, then take up that service or humbly reject that service. All right. The answer to this question is, if one feels, it is natural, in one sense, it's natural for a devotee to feel that I am not capable to do a service. Especially if a service is given which one hasn't done so far, and if one is new to it, it is natural for a devotee to feel that, oh, I am not capable to do that. And if one has a natural humility, then also it is very natural to think that, you know, I am not capable to do that service. So that feeling is good, to feel that, you know, I am not capable. Actually, we have to always feel that I am not capable, I am dependent on Krishna. And even a small service, if we feel so, it is really good, and that's the way it should be. At the same time, if we have some challenging services, it is an opportunity. So what can we do if a challenging service comes in front of us? So it is said, one can approach the authority who is giving the service. One can express the concern that I haven't done the service. I find myself incapable to do the service. And you can explain why, what are the difficulties you are facing. So if the person who is giving that service, and if he's experienced and if he's a proper devotee, then he can understand whether you can actually do that service or not. If he says still you can do that service, then take up the service. So then taking up that service is humility. Then if we reject that service, then that is not humility. So we can, if we have concern, we should discuss the concerns, and then we can see how, if we can do it or not. Then just listen, see what happens. Yeah. Yeah, Krishna emphasizes this point that if you do something, the false ego, as it is said, praying to Krishna, the false ego can afflict us very easily. So that's why Brahma is praying. We can pray as Brahma does here. And Krishna makes this point in Bhagavad Gita many times. Right in the beginning itself, Karmanyeva Adhikaraste Mahabhaleshu Kadajana. It makes it clear, you know, you can perform the activities, but you are not entitled for the result. Don't think you are the cause of the activity. At the same time, don't be detached from the activity, performing that activity. So Krishna makes a statement beginning itself, and again third chapter, you know, who is the doer? Again discussion, right? Modes of, you know, who is the, in actuality, the doer is the modes of material nature. So Krishna makes it again clear. Even 13th chapter, Krishna makes it clear who is the doer. You know, there are many places Krishna makes it again and again clear who is the doer. So first we understand theoretically, and of course a theory is not enough. We need to really pray and we need to contemplate. We need to pray, otherwise there is no, because it is a very subtle thing. So we need to really pray and contemplate how the ability that we have is coming from Krishna. Krishna, Prabhupada makes it very clear in this purport also, as Bhagavad Gita says. Everything, you know, it's just a fraction of my energy. Ekam shena visthitam jagat. Krishtapyam evam krishnam ekam shena visthitam jagat. Everything is just the whole material creation is nothing but a spark of Krishna's splendor. It's just, you know, it's so, what to speak about the tiny ability that we have. Sometimes we had to think, if we get this kind of thing, we had to look back and to our own consciousness and think, you know, what am I doing really? And pray to the Lord. And the Lord reciprocates. It is mentioned that Krishna can tolerate anything in his devotee but pride. If Krishna sees pride in his devotee, he smashes. So many, you know, I'm sure we all have such experiences. I have experiences feeling proud and, you know, feeling pride and then getting smashed. So many instances. Even in front of the deities. I have many stories. Right in front of Radha Vallabha, you know, while, you know, performing deity service, you know, I'm doing nicely. I got smashed straight away. Something will happen straight away. So many times. The direct reciprocation of the Lord. Some stories are really funny, but it had happened. Yeah. So, yeah. It's dangerous. Yes, Prabhupada. Is it?
Yes. Taking Srila Prabhupada's example, he was given an impossible task.
Mm.
And at the time, he wasn't able to achieve it. So, what is for sure? But he did. He took the instruction and he worked on it.
Yeah.
He worked on it. And even he was unsuccessful. He meditated on it until he actually did it. So, you know,
very nice question. Complicated. That where the service attitude is coming from. Yes, everything comes from Krishna, so it's easy to say that it is coming from Krishna. Now, let's see what is the service attitude or services. Actually, service and love are one and the same. We can equate service, bhakti, love, because Prabhupada said, bhakti, what's the translation of bhakti? Unconditional, unmotivated, loving, devotional service. So, love, service, bhakti, these are in essentially referring to the same thing. Now, let's try to see how this love or service or bhakti is completely present in Krishna himself. So, Krishna has many, many qualities, and of the multitudes of qualities that he has, the most prime one is bhakta vatsalata, bhakta vatsalya, right? So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's explained that what is that, the peak of bhakta vatsalata. Bhakta vatsalata, again, it can be translated to love, it can be translated to service to his devotees. And what is that peak of bhakta vatsalya? That is atma paryanta vadanyata. That is the peak of bhakta vatsalata. That is atma paryanta vadanyata. So he is so magnanimous and he is so loving that he is ready to give himself to his devotees. So in fact, if we, when we talk about surrender, that is one thing I wanted to talk, but I forgot actually. I just thought, I didn't prepare, I just read and I was thinking. So yes, one of the, if you consider different steps in surrender, yes, there are different steps in surrender, and this atma paryanta vadanyata, that is, we can see, that is the epitome of surrender. He is ready to give himself. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone is his servant, but Krishna is ready to give himself to his devotees. And you do whatever you want with me. And he's ready to serve his devotees unconditionally. So definitely, this service attitude is coming from Krishna himself. Krishna is serving, that is Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is serving his devotee, Arjuna. He's accepting such a menial position. And this specific Atma Paryanta Vadanyata, that is specifically coming to the devotees in Vrindavan, how Krishna is ready to give himself to the residents of Vrindavan. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nandagopa prajogaso, yenmitram paramanandam purna brahma sanatanam. See the good fortune of the residents of Vrindavan. Aho bhagyam, nandagopa prajogaso. See the good fortune of Nandagopa, of Nanda Maharaj. And the residents of Vrindavan. Because yen mitram paramanandam. Krishna is their friend. He's just one among them. Purna Brahma Sanatanam. He is the Purna Brahman. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Brahman. But he is just an intimate associate of the residents of Vrindavan. So this, the serving mentality, it is manifested in its perfection in Krishna, even in the dealings, in its highest capacity, in the dealings of Krishna and his intimate devotees in Vrindavan. Then, of course, we can see that service attitude is manifested in Lord Chaitanya. So that definitely we have to say, because he's Bhakta Avatar, he's the manifestation of, as a devotee. So there again, Krishna is manifesting how to serve him. So Bhakti Shriyam, he gave bhakti to himself in one sense. Shiksha, Nija Bhakti Yogam, there's another reference. Nija Bhakti Yogam. Nija Bhakti Yogam, it is his. Actually, bhakti is his property. And the devotees are loving him, and he wanted to experience the same. So he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. So there also we can see that the, because Lord Chaitanya, he didn't manifest at one particular point in time. He is there eternally. So in other words, the servitude is there eternally among the Jiva and in the Supreme Lord. So it is there all the time. As we can hear in the beginning verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Radha Bhava Dhiti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. What's the beginning of the verse? Anyone remembers? You remember? Radhini Shakti Rasmat Ekatmanavi Bhuvi Upara Deha Vedam Gadoto. Ekatmanavi, even though Ekatma, they are one, Radha and Krishna are one, but they are separated to enjoy the pastimes. So even though the statement is there, we cannot put a time stamp on it. Then Deha Bhedam Gadoto. Then Chaitanyakyam Prakadam Adhina Taddwayam Cha Aikyam Aptam. So now, Lord Chaitanya has appeared, that is, these two personalities, Radha and Krishna, they have Aikyam Aptam, they have combined into one. And that is Radha Bhava Dhuti Suvalitam. That is, the Lord is, Lord Chaitanya is covered with Radha Bhava. That is the Dhuti. Dhuti means the luster. That is Radha Bhava Dhuti. That is his complexion. So in that way, we can see that the Lord, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, he is carrying this servitude. And he manifested. So yes, ultimately, I think that is the first, I think that is a kind of answer to the first part of the question. Then the second part, what is the, how you draw a line between these two, is that the kind of, that is being the servant and being the master, or accepting the service rather. Is that in the context of, okay, in the context of pure love, in many contexts are there. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Laws.
Yes.
That's
right. Okay, so when we accept service, we have to accept service, because if you are serving, if you are managing, if you are doing something, we like to tell anyone to do something. In that way, we are accepting the service, and we have to accept the service. Otherwise, we can't live in a community. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is accepting service, for example. Speaking is a service, so we have to accept service in any circumstance. Then the difference is, what is the consciousness? If we accept a service personally, say, I'll just take the example of a guru, for example. So guru, he's giving the order to his disciple. So in his consciousness, he's seeing, okay, I'm giving the order, but I'm doing it as a service. And at the same time, he's receiving services. So we observe our spiritual master, you know, we clean the clothes, serve prasadam, or, you know, try to follow the instruction. So when we do that, so in that way, the spiritual master is accepting the service. Now, what is the consciousness in which a spiritual master accepts the service? Srila Prabhupada actually exemplified, and he taught what needs to be done. He said, a service has to be passed up. So if you are accepting a service, one need to, he is seeing that, okay, I am accepting this on behalf of parampara, not on because of my personal glory, because of my personal capacity. Srila Prabhupada said, I am collecting all these obeisances just like a tax collector. A tax collector collects all these taxes, but he doesn't try to enjoy those. See, this is the difficulty to be in a position where one has to accept services. Because one has to accept, at the same time, one shouldn't enjoy. Which requires a great deal of maturity. So Srila Prabhupada accepted all these obeisances, and he actually passed to Krishna through the parampara. He said, I am collecting, I am just passing on. So a spiritual master has to act as a via medium in two directions. One direction is accepting the service and glorification and passing unto Krishna through the parampara. And also, when the mercy is coming through from Krishna, through parampara to him, he has to act as a via medium to give to other people. So it can be through the instruction, it can be through the experience, it can be in different ways. He has to pass down. So if there is a blockage in any of these paths, there is a chance of falling down. So this is the kind of a balance if you consider that position. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And he
lot of.
Yeah. Attitude, despite the fact that he's the supreme, and everybody's supposed to
try to say something. We read whatever Srila Prabhupada has given, say 10th canto, Krishna book, Nectar Devotion. So we read those books, and thinking about a particular pastime deeply, or thinking about association of Krishna with gopis or Srimati Radharani, primarily one can do that to the degree one can do, to the level which we do, our mind is not getting agitated. One doesn't think about sense gratification when one is thinking about Radha and Krishna or Krishna with gopis. If one is hearing Krishna's pastimes with gopis as it is given in Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam, one is just becoming happy hearing about that, and one is feeling, one is enjoying the pastimes, not for us seeing how Krishna is enjoying with his associates, how the residents of Vrindavan are enjoying with Krishna. And if it is bringing happiness in our heart, and that is helping us to forget our sense gratification, then one can meditate. To that degree, one can meditate. If you're reading about things, one is thinking about one's own sense gratification, and you know, if one is able to think about Krishna's pastimes, even to a small degree, one can just forget the sense gratificatory thoughts. Mind becomes just clear. If mind is a little bit of absorption, I don't have much absorption, a little bit think about Krishna, for example, then we can't forget, you know, my mind is clear. That's the way actually to purify our mind, thinking about Krishna. That is the stage of, I'm not talking about high advanced devotional service, just in the sadhana bhakti, smartavya sthatatam Vishnu, vismartavya na kajachit. So the point is always remember Krishna. If always remember Krishna means, what can we think about Krishna other than Krishna's, you know, Krishna's teachings? Krishna's activities. So that is the only, that checkpoint, one can consult senior devotees. At the same time, one can find that checkpoint in oneself. If one is sincere, it's not very difficult. What one can think, what will agitate and what will not agitate. I feel it is fairly simple. If it is so, one can go how much or deeper one can. And one can see that reflection in one's chanting. If one is qualified to go deeper and deeper in the pastimes of Krishna and think about that, one can find that in one's chanting. One can see that one's chanting is improving. It is not mechanical, and thoughts about Krishna is natural, and there is feeling while chanting the holy names. It is very natural. We don't need to ask 10 different people, how am I chanting? Just look oneself, you know, how many times am I hearing, what are the things I am thinking? It's pretty straightforward. So yes, the whole process is to advance. Our whole process is to think about Krishna. Everything will ultimately lead to thinking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna's dealings with the devotees. That is the whole aim. So, you know, as we move about, we had to see that, the pastimes of Krishna is very sweet. It's very tasty. One needs to see that chanting Krishna's names is very tasty. So if one is seeing that, okay, then one can go as well as one can. And one continues one's activity. That's a Srila Prabhupada. If you talk about Srila Prabhupada, he had his internals and he had his externals. Like Rupa Goswami, in any advanced Vaishnava, externally they are acting as a normal devotee. That is the principle of Raganuga Bhakti also. Seva Sathaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chatra. Even in the Raganuga stage, even one has realized one siddha day, still seva sadhaka rupena. Still one is acting as a normal devotee. Srila Prabhupada is just acting as a normal devotee. It means that one can be advanced, but one should act as a normal devotee, coming to Mangalarati, doing Mangalarati, but the consciousness is different. All activities can be performed as a normal devotee while one is advancing internally. So that is our mood. So we don't show a big show, you know, I'm an advanced devotee, this or that, but one has one's internal journey. One cannot undermine that internal journey. One has to see how the sense gratificatory thoughts are troubling me. There's a good way to see that. You know, how much sex desire is coming to my mind? What am I thinking? What is coming? So one can see gradual change in our consciousness. One has to see that gradual change in one's consciousness. And are we more about, am I developing a desire to think about Krishna? Am I finding a need to think about Krishna? One sees that, yeah, it's a good sign. Then one has to go for it. One has to see, yes, I had to think more about Krishna because I like thinking about Krishna, so I should think more about Krishna. I should read more about Krishna. It has been back of my mind. I have to, meanwhile, acting as a normal devotee, you know, we had to do our thing. So this is our process. Our process is to think about Krishna all the time. Now we are unable to. Our process is to chant, not just, you know, struggling to focus on the holy name. That's not the, you know, just hearing somehow or other, with all our force, beating our, somehow or other, just I'm hearing. That's the beginning of the process. That's not the end of the process, just hearing the holy name. One has to feel for Krishna. One has to. That's the whole idea. So, yes, definitely one has to go for it. I don't know. That's what I understand, yeah.
That's a very good point. Prabhupada didn't focus on the intimate relationships between Radha and Krishna, as and some people put an emphasis on that as being as a symbol of advancement.
Yeah.
Right. But as you say, a devotee keeps his advancement hidden. Keeps it actually hidden.
Yeah.
And he meditates on all aspects of Krishna's activity.
Yes.
Not only that one. But he sees everything in relationship to Krishna practically. So when in Prabhupada's case, he didn't make an overt show of his devotion. And so therefore people say, oh, he didn't give you everything. Not because there's no overt show, but we see that Prabhupada was faithful to the tradition and faithful to the mood of the devotee, because if we look in his books, we can see that he gave us from the bottom, I shouldn't even say bottom, but Mahavishnu, or Krishna, Mahavishnu, the creation, all of that. This is how the Bhagavatam goes as well. Until you get to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, the Prabhupada gave us all the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam with the Krishna book, with his purport so that we can understand it. And he warns us, if you're always only focusing on, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, that's lopsided, that's unbalanced. Mm-hmm. And it's often done, in a see how advanced I am, which is really, it's the wrong motivation, because the devotee keeps that very, very hidden, and it's not displayed. The culture is, and even the Prabhupada says, if you look at the Goswamis, they didn't say, I've got Krishna. They were saying, where are you, Krishna? So that nerd is always trying to find. Many devotees, if we have difficulty just focusing our mind on telling Hare Krishna, then we're probably not ready yet.
You've
got to go off the Bombay concept of life.
One more point regarding, this point I was thinking, Prabhu has asked, people say Prabhu hasn't given everything. Then I was thinking, when we read Nectar of Devotion, it's the whole bhakti science Srila Rupa Goswami has given, and Prabhu has given as it is. It is a summary of everything. And if somebody is saying that Prabhu hasn't given, then it means that Rupa Goswami hasn't given. It's exactly the same. Yeah. That's right. It has everything. Just read Nectar of Devotion, he does everything, and we know the regions which we cannot actually touch upon. We can really see, there is a whole ladder going up, such a detailed and deep stuff. So yeah, everything is there.
Krishna was like Maharaj Yudhisthira, and at that time
Srila Prabhupada approved, he wanted Krishna books to be distributed because Krishna book presents all facets of Krishna from both philosophical point of view and also from the pastime point of view. So since the philosophy is present to support the pastimes, one will not be one will not get a wrong conclusion out of it. So
it's clear by the understanding.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we should finish. Gandharashima Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai.